Welcome to Liberate Your People Pleaser. I am your host, Brenda Florida, certified life coach, and you might be a people pleaser if you sacrifice your needs or your wants or your feelings to benefit someone else, or you keep silent when something bothers you or upsets you, or you're super critical and feel like you're probably your own worst enemy. Well, here's what I've got in store for you for this podcast. First of all, there's nothing wrong with you and you don't need fixing. What we need to do is leverage the superpowers of being a people pleaser, because there are definite superpowers. You are super intuitive, I am sure. You have great powers of empathy, the ability to read a situation and know what's going on with people and those around you. So what we're going to do in each episode is talk about ways to disempower the parts of it that are diminishing and don't serve us anymore, and level up or empower all those superpowers. So join me in the next episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. Welcome everyone to this episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. So I am here today. This is one of our special guests podcasts. I'm super excited to introduce you to Tracy Smith. She has a story that really caught my attention. And I think that I first became aware of it because you said something about it in our private Facebook group, Liberate Your People Pleaser. And I reached out to Tracy and asked her if she'd let me interview her for a podcast. So I don't want to do any spoiler alerts here. So Tracy, why don't you say hello to everyone and introduce yourself a little bit and tell us about this really, you know, intriguing and fascinating story that you have.
Okay, Brenda, thank you. My name is Tracy Smith. I right now basically call myself a serial entrepreneur. I have a few different businesses. And my background actually is mental health. So basically the group that I'm in that you facilitate, the Liberating Your People Pleaser, that strikes me specifically because a lot of my past, self-defeating issues had to do with that, you know, not being able to kind of get a grasp of that.
Right.
What we talked about that story, what happened is in 2018, I lost my son to a drunk driver. Mm. So basically in 2018, in January, I had already paid for a trip to take my family to start traveling. What instigated that was I had a very good friend who was the most vivacious, full of life person that I ever met. Like, I met her at a time in my life when I was really coming out of a dark place, and she was just life. She was happy. She was life. And she passed away, and I said, oh my goodness. I need to start doing those things that I said I was always going to do, and got busy with work and other things and put that aside. So I planned this trip with my family, and then I got a phone call at 3 a.m. My son was hit by a drunk driver. Our family spent 6 days trying to advocate. He got poor care. The driver wasn't charged, just lots of painful things around that, which it's never good, but I'm saying, like, it was really bad. So the trip, and it just felt like hopeless because our family has a trauma history. I worked really hard to get to a point where I could do things like travel with my family, and now my son can't be a part of it. So I can never, it's never going to be what I wanted it to be. But because I'm dealing with people in my family that are suicidal because of what we went through, I personally decided we're going to do this for my son. It made no sense. We did therapy and we did the reasonable things that you're supposed to do, but I just felt like the bucket list that he didn't get to work on, we're going to do that. We're going to start taking him, even though we take his ashes, but we're going to do that.
Wow.
So basically our first trip was to the Dominican Republic in 2019. It was just beautiful. amazing. We stayed locally. We shopped at the local grocery stores. We really were immersed in that culture. Then this year, back in August, we were in Puerto Rico for 10 days.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was safe. Now, I want to say, like, with this year, with the shutdown, yes, people get really testy, but we wore masks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wore masks. We were tested for COVID, and the protocols in Puerto Rico were even stricter than back here in Michigan. So nobody got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we needed.
Yeah.
My family.
So tell me about that a little bit, because I'm really, part of what intrigued me about this, because it's how I tend to operate in my life, but of course not everyone does. And it's this idea of, you know, as you've suffered this terrible loss with your son, that idea also of, as well as your friend, of not letting life sort of pass you by, you know, and even when it may not make sense, or other people might think, you know, this is not the thing to do, or you're running away from something, or, you know, whatever, to use traveling as really a way to heal. I find traveling to be very healing. I often get a lot of really great insights and inspiration. Sometimes I've met some people that, you know, of course I could have never predicted, that made an impact on my life. So tell me a little bit about what that was like for you.
I think definitely you hit the nail on the head. It wasn't just that I needed to get away, because part of it was that. Part of it was living in a city where they won't prosecute. There's no police report, all those negative things. And so part of it definitely was kind of running away.
Mm-hmm.
We did some local things on the holidays. I made sure I got everybody together and we're going to do something so that we basically grieve together and it's not all just being sad. Because at some point you have to heal. I mean, I guess, and that's a choice, that either we can heal, and as much ugly things as we had been through, we still have a choice. Do we want to heal? Well, I did.
Yeah.
And I feel very much that phrase about genius loci, the energy of the place, the spirit of the place, like there was something. It wasn't just recreational. People say it's frivolous. It wasn't frivolous. It was therapeutic and healing. There was something healing about being away out of our comfort zone together and experiencing a new culture.
Yes. Yes. And so I think the together part is really interesting, because actually when I first read what you wrote in the Facebook group, I kind of imagine, this is probably my own bias because I've been single for so long, that you went off by yourself and took this trip. But then when we spoke, of course, I realized you went with, you know, your family. So share with everybody a little bit what that was like, and maybe why you chose to do it collectively instead of by yourself. Or maybe that wasn't something you ever, you know, thought about. You always just planned to do it as a group. But share with us that dynamic and how it was as sort of the matriarch there, you know, in the family, to bring the whole family into this experience with you.
I think basically that first year in the Dominican, eight people, because some people just weren't in a place yet to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I included my whole family is I had mentioned, like, the trauma history. I'm a mom who had been homeless with my kids. Couldn't provide for my kids, felt like my kids would probably be better off without me. And so then I worked very hard, processed my issues, you know, made choices to be more assertive. Like your podcast talks about the people pleasing, learn how to set boundaries and advocate. So now I can provide for my family. Now I can put eight people, like in the Dominican or this most recent time in Puerto Rico, 11 people on a plane and go put a real nice roof over their heads. And they're experiencing new cultures. My granddaughter, you know, they want to learn Spanish and other languages because they've been exposed to it. Mm. And we have those memories together, because now we're processing the grief of my son, but we're also, when I think of the idea, you know, my son was 30.
Okay.
The goal is 30 countries before I pass. So by the time I pass, if these people, if we have between 8 and 15 people that have been on all these ventures with me, I feel they're going to be resilient enough to deal with losing
me because I'm divorced,
but I'm basically, like you said, the matriarch. So
yes. And I mean, I love that so much. So I remember when we talked before the interview, this coming up between us. So I'll just say it now for the whole audience, not to be morbid. I too think, frequently about how I want to live out the last, third or so of my life, and how I want to kind of prepare my kids for that, or because I have four adult children and three grandchildren, and what's the legacy that I want to leave behind? Who, how they see me, and not that I can control how they see me, but how do I want to live my life that will liberate them also in their own, journeys? And so I love that you have that as a conscious intention, because I think sometimes in the maybe avoidance or denial, out of fear of dying that people get caught up into, there isn't that sort of health, what I'm going to call healthy preparation for, last chapters. Not that you and I are either one knocking on the door, but to the point of what happened with you and your son, by the same token, none of us knows. Right? None of us knows that we're going to walk out of the door and end up where we intended to end up, and not in a hospital bed. And so again, without any morbidity or like cultivating anxiety or fear around that, just this idea of, I want to live every day like it counts, because it does. I have a aunt who passed away now a number of years ago, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. And she had both juvenile diabetes, really, really bad, and ovarian cancer, right? Just a horrible cancer, didn't catch it till stage 4, which is so typical for ovarian. And if she walked into the room, you would think she was the picture of health, like the friend you described, just being so full of life. And that was her message, was that life is a gift. And, it may sound corny and whatever, like it belongs on a greeting card, but it's the absolute truth. And so I'd love to hear your perspective on this. I think that when we live all in, full out, whatever word you want to use to describe that, where we're really not leaving anything behind, at the end of the day or at the end of a life, then there really aren't regrets, because sure, there's things you wish had gone differently, or if I'd known now what I knew then, or vice versa, I would have done that different. Sure, there's that, but that's different from a regret. And I think what you did was take something that could have been such a negative mark in your family and turned it into something that has created a positive legacy.
Yes, very, very much so, because part of the history for our family is that trauma, poverty, abuse, violence. The house that I was raised in initially had an outhouse. We didn't even have an indoor toilet. Okay. Mm-hmm. So part of what I'm trying to show my kids is how to step up and be a leader. And you, not that we're never sad, but to embrace joy. And one of the first things between the Dominican and Puerto Rico, we went skydiving. Oh. And that was myself, my two children, my daughter and my son that I am is still with us, and their spouses. So there were five of us in this little plane. And I had mentioned how my family, really struggled with some suicidal thoughts. We all did. But when you get way up there in that plane, and they open the door, and the first thing is like, I hope no matter what I said, I want my chute to open. Like, yes. I might have been sad, but at this moment, I really hope this works out. So the scariest part is right before you go out of the plane. And then again, it was a very spiritual thing, because I look over and I see my children in the sky flying like when you talk about like being up in the heavens, like my son that's passed, that's where you would think he is. And we were right up there with him, and we all jumped out of the plane. You know, we were in the same plane, so we got to do that together. It's another thing we did together, but definitely part of it was, if you ever had any negative thoughts right before they shove you out of the plane, you definitely think, I want to live. I want this to work out.
That's great. Oh my gosh. That just gives me goosebumps and tears all at the same time. What an event, and how no one could predict, or there's probably no books about, you know, going skydiving to help heal your family from a loss like that. And yet sometimes the most unexpected things can bring with them the power to do that healing.
Right. My personal opinion on that, having a background working with other people with trauma, the intensity of what we have done as far as travel and bucket list things is almost proportionate to the intensity of the loss we went through, but we do it in a positive way. So I feel like we're building resilience, that it's probably not that I'm doing it because it's a science experiment, but I do feel that it really there's an actual therapeutic aspect.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I actually had not thought of it that way, but you know, there's a lot of now research on that sort of thing with, you know, our brains and our emotions and how the body processes all of that. And there's a lot of, you know, evidence that supports that concept, that, you know, like the old saying was kind of like, to the degree you can experience sorrow, you can experience joy. If you keep yourself always kind of in that middle ground, you don't get the highs either. It's not just that you don't get the lows. And so, you know, or people who have said, and of course we've seen this in so many people, that to the degree that they can experience poverty, they can experience wealth. And so I think that's a really interesting connection, because I know in my own life, there's so much truth to that, that, you know, it's because of the depth of what I've been through that has been difficult, that I think I can, you know, have the resilience that I have and can manage, you know, the next thing that comes along from a higher, just a higher place than I could have before.
Yeah, I think that's true. Specifically with like this year, and at some point I thought, if one more person says pivot to me, I'm just gonna like glue their mouth shut. I don't want to hear it again. Like, I feel like the toxic positivity, that everything that ever happens, you have to make it great. Like when something bad happens, it's normal to need to be sad, and people who can't process loss or be sad have a hard time with change. So how would you ever move on from that? Because you haven't accepted the sad or the, you know, the loss.
Yes. That's so true. That's a great connect the dot as well to that aversion to change. You know, when people can't allow, I like the word allow, because I want to just allow whatever sadness or whatever, even something like fear, if I allow it, it'll flow through me, you know, I'll say relatively quickly. It's not like I stay on the couch for 10 days or something because I allowed it. It's when we try to stuff it down or pretend it isn't there, or cover it with that, you know, I love that phrase, toxic positivity. I've not heard that one yet, so I like that. But that is, you know, just fake. It's like, oh, well, I'm supposed to be positive, so let me, you know, do this. It doesn't allow for that sadness or the grief or, you know, the fear or whatever. There's nothing wrong with fear. There's nobody that isn't afraid. The, you know, the people we admire most or have often, you know, been the most fearful, they just don't stay there, right? They move through it, and then they move beyond it, or they act in spite of it, you know, or whatever. And that's really where power comes, not by being positive or seemingly perfect, you know, on the outside all the time.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I think authenticity is a lot more powerful than this fake, like pretending that things don't affect you, or that something horrible has a, you know, that it's a blessing, because maybe how I moved forward was, that was still a loss and I still live with that. So the dialectical thinking of that it's possible to be somebody who deals with huge grief, this huge loss, and at the same time, I'm known for my sense of humor. I'm known for to be the grandma, like my granddaughter called me her homeless baller grandma at the summer reunion. Was that because I gave up my apartment and moved to Florida to pursue things and whatever, but the travel is still important, and it wasn't even necessarily that expensive for people to think that that's not possible. That's not true. There's a lot of ways you can make it possible.
Yes. Oh, that's a great point. Because just on a little practical note, there is that concept that travel is just super expensive, and it can be. And, you know, traveling with lots of money is fun, but it doesn't have to be, you know, it really. So that limited perspective or that limiting belief of, well, I can't travel, I don't have the money. You know, tell me your perspective on that.
Well, that's exactly what I believed. And I even sent other people, like before my mom passed, I sent her to California. And I justified it because I had made a promise to her when I was younger, but then I thought travel was something people with more money or, you know, more resources I didn't have did. And that first year when I planned it, basically working at the hospital, all my nurse friends travel. So I'm being exposed. I think a lot of it is the people around us. If the people around you have found a way to do it, it seems more practical for you. And the reasons why it was affordable, like we flew Spirit Airlines, you can find credit cards that are specifically for travel and use reward points. Another thing I looked at was volunteering. So
Like really what it was is my destination. When you get to the destination, volunteering for something there. Yeah.
Right. But you can also online, there are house sitting groups where people in Greece might need somebody to sit. So, you know, there's a lot of ways. If it's something that's important to you, then I think surround yourself with people who have done it or are the same as you wanting to do it. Don't surround yourself with people that are telling you that you can't do it.
Yes. Oh,
but definitely not overwhelmingly expensive. The couple times that we traveled, I plan it in advance. I plan the destination based on ticket prices, and it's been comparable to going to Cedar Point. So it's really not.
Okay.
I mean, like you said, we stay in an Airbnb. I mean, we were fine with that. But, you know, I would rather take 11 people and stay in an Airbnb and go to Walmart and get our ramen noodles there than maybe at some point I'll go by myself. But I also know that for my family, that's been a very healing part of us recovering together.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, so you started by telling us you're a serial entrepreneur. So as we wrap up today, why don't you tell us? So I'm curious, because I did not ask you this, I don't think, before we got on today, if you have a trip planned now that, you know, you're hoping to take next, and what you're doing, you know, otherwise, and how people might be able to connect with you and continue engaging with you.
Okay. The trip that is officially planned is Mexico.
Okay.
That's because my son, before he, well, you know, at the time he passed, his fiance is Hispanic, and he was teaching himself Spanish to be able to write love letters and poetry to her. And there are pyramids there in Mexico City where I want to take some of the ashes. Like his ashes have been to quite a few places now. So that's the next one. But I'm also starting to kind of really fall in love with Cuba. I'm looking at that seriously. Yeah. And especially because there's some animosity, but it's not a safety issue. It's more like politicians that can't get along. I mean, we were very safe previously. Yeah. So Cuba, it's right off the Florida Keys. Yes. It's beautiful. The culture, like Ernest Hemingway, just I'm really, really having a big crush on Cuba.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
The public speaking business that I have is called Best Life Productions Group. I'm on Facebook with my own page for that. I have a website, www.bestlifeproductionsgroup.com, and then I'm on a couple of speaker platforms. And I, I kind of took things apart and put them back together because one of the positive things I wanted to do from the situation with my son is open a sober living house. So I formed a nonprofit to do that and kind of restructured the way I work to be able to work towards that goal and also be able to do things like travel with my family.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Tracy, for your time and just for the inspiration it is to me, and I'm sure all the listeners, to take something, you know, that is so tragic and, you know, so wrong, so to speak, in so many ways, and yet do something with it for you and your family that is healing and takes you also to your next level of growth instead of getting stuck, you know, in that grief and nobody really being able to move beyond it. I really admire how you've really, to me, captured this tricky place of not denying the hard stuff that happened and yet growing towards infinite possibilities. And I think there's no better journey than that. So thank you for how you've demonstrated that to your family and now to us and the world at large with your speaking and everything. I'm so grateful for you being here.
Thank you. I think that's one of the things that I would leave the group with is at the time this will air, we're going to be in January of 2021. Yeah. And if 2020 was a bad year for you, I had a lot of bad years before I figured out, the way I needed to take things apart and put it back together. Lots of people like Martin Luther King, when they're in jail or prison is where they did the introspection of who they were going to. So don't think if you had a bad 2020 that it means you're not gonna
go
beyond. Who you will become to overcome that maybe is what they focused on.
Oh, I love that you brought that up because like my favorite question is what is seeking to emerge? So no matter where I'm at, you know, in my own depths of despair that I have been in as well, you know, to keep asking that question because it's very empowering. What is seeking to emerge? You know, who am I becoming? And that is a great way to move yourself, you know, forward into what's possible from the most, you know, difficult of circumstances. So what a perfect way to wrap up.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. And I want to take just a minute to share a little more about my special package I have going now to be seen and heard in your relationship. This is a limited time offer at the price I'm offering it. There's the entry level 3-session package. But for those of you who just know you're going to need a little more, or you're wondering if you might, I've got this VIP package. This is a full 90 days with 9 one-on-one coaching sessions plus 90 days of Voxer support. So Voxer is like a app that just makes it very easy for us to voice communicate. You don't have to type everything. We can just record messages to each other so that you'll have the support you need, because I know that 2020 has been hard on a lot of our romantic relationships. And so I wanted to kick the new year off with something that's going to really serve you. And beyond romance, it's going to help you in your work relationships and everything else. Because once we sort of figure out this dynamic of being seen and heard and not feeling invisible anymore and not dismissing ourselves or letting others dismiss us, then everything in life changes. So check out the information and sales page. So the link is in the show notes and you can book your appointment if you think the VIP package might be right for you. Or if you just know you want that 3-session package and start there, you can pay for that online. As soon as you finish your payment, you'll get an email from me to book your first session. For those of you who book your call to decide if VIP is right for you, then you'll get an email with the link to schedule that call. So actually, no, you're going to schedule the call right from the sales page. It'll take you right to the scheduler, and then we'll figure out what to do on our call together. So I can't wait to hear from you on that. And as always, the show notes will also include a link to join my private Facebook group, Liberate Your People Pleaser, if you haven't done that yet, and a link to ask me a question that you would like to have addressed on Liberate Your People Pleaser. All right, everybody, love you.